Today on Real Radio.
So Memorial Day for me, growing up in a military home, in a U.S. Marine Corps home, constantly reminded us that great, great expense was provided that I might have the freedom to sleep safely at night. You know, tonight many of us are going to pull the sheets up to our neck and not think that it's the soldier far, far away that's keeping us safe right now, that we can enjoy such comfort. And it's not only about comfort, it's about liberties and freedoms that you and I enjoy to vote. Here in California, we're coming up on a vote, a primary election. A lot of people take that for granted. And yet for me personally, I know for many millions in the nation, it's something that is extremely costly because, again, it comes back to blood. You can't have freedom without blood. It's impossible. All of us enjoy the freedoms and peace that we have, but we don't want to think very often about how it is that we've come to enjoy all this stuff. It's the American soldier united with his global allies around the world that's providing freedom right now, the best they can for those in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the untold tens of thousands of U.S. forces that are deployed in locations that are undisclosed because they're involved in covert operations to keep the peace in a foreign country. Freedom. It's what America stands for. It's why we have the bald eagle as our nation's symbol.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher will step aside from his weekday series through the New Testament narrative or Gospel of Luke. The reason? Today is Memorial Day. This national holiday should be properly honored by every American and those non-Americans who support and love what she stands for. It is often observed as the unofficial start of the summer season, wherein we enjoy warm weather, hot dogs, baseball. But exactly how much do we truly know about Memorial Day? Memorial Day is a United States holiday, observed on the last Monday of May. It used to be known as Decoration Day, commemorating U.S. men and women who died while in the military service. It was first enacted to honor Union soldiers of the American Civil War, historically our nation's most costly in terms of human life. Memorial Day also serves as a reminder to those serving in our armed forces right now. And so if you are in our nation's service fighting for our cherished freedoms, first we express our deepest gratitude. We also encourage you to lend an ear to today's pre-recorded message and hear what our teacher wishes to express directly to you on this Memorial Day.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack of Real Radio, and we want to come to you right now with just a very special devotion, meditation, thought, and that is regarding Memorial Day. Memorial Day for me is extremely important, and I want to give you a little bit of background as to why. First of all, Memorial Day is something that was actually a day of commemoration that came about during the Civil War right here in America. But for me personally, having grown up in a military home, Memorial Day is a day that we've always taken very seriously because of the cost of freedom. Freedom is something that all of us love and enjoy. I think it's safe to say that freedom is something that we take for granted. And you know, I'm not knocking that. Maybe almost we should. We should live and expect to live in some form of comfort or grace or goodness for which God provides. But the issue is, how God provides freedom. And of course, freedom bringing forth peace and just the ability to establish a culture, to establish a nation. So Memorial Day for me, growing up in a military home, in a U.S. Marine Corps home, constantly reminded us that great, great expense was provided that I might have the freedom to sleep safely at night. You know, tonight many of us are going to pull the sheets up to our neck and not think that it's the soldier far, far away that's keeping us safe right now, that we can enjoy such comfort. And it's not only about comfort, it's about liberties and freedoms that you and I enjoy to vote. Here in California, we're coming up on a vote, a primary election. A lot of people take that for granted. And yet for me personally, I know for many millions in the nation, it's something that is extremely costly because, again, it comes back to blood. You can't have freedom without blood. It's impossible. All of us enjoy the freedoms and peace that we have, but we don't want to think very often about how it is that we've come to enjoy all this stuff. It's the American soldier united with his global allies around the world that's providing freedom right now, the best they can for those in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the untold tens of thousands of U.S. forces that are deployed in locations that are undisclosed because they're involved in covert operations to keep the peace in a foreign country. Freedom. It's what America stands for. It's why we have the bald eagle as our nation's symbol. We consider that one of the greatest examples of freedom. Well, when I think about freedom and the cost of innocence, as it were, blood, that others might live freely, I think of what the Bible has to say about freedom and about memorial and about a Memorial Day like this one coming up. And that is Abraham, for example, is seen in the book of Genesis creating a memorial built out of stones, an altar where blood was given that there might be peace between him and God. I think about Jacob in the Bible who built an altar made out of stone that freedom could be experienced and liberty experienced between him and his God. It all comes down to the value of the cause in which you're involved in. I, as a pastor, I don't fight for the cause of Christ because I am a pastor. I became a pastor because I believe in fighting for the cause of Christ. And what do I mean by fight? I think sometimes maybe it might be easier to be deployed to some battlefield and to shoot and to be shot at, to know that in 6 months or a year, your campaign might be over. But when I talk about fight, I talk about fight in the context of a Christian. I've been a Christian for over 30 years, and for me, the fight is relentless. It's nonstop. It's constant. As a pastor and as a church here in Southern California, we fight to maintain freedoms, for example, of those in our public school system. We make our voices heard. We fight on the street corners with signs saying that abortion is murder. We get in the voting box and we vote. We fight in that ballot box to influence our politics, to represent our Christian values. Some people might confuse that with politics. I don't whatsoever. Everything, every opportunity that I have has been provided to me by someone who thought their life, a life that was worth and worthy to be spent regarding this thing called freedom. I fear right now in our American culture, we've become pretty complacent and pretty lazy about our freedoms. I think it's Zell Miller who gave a great speech at the Republican National Convention as a Democrat when he began to speak about the cost of freedom. And he said, you know, it's that draped coffin of the American flag upon the American soldier that allows the American on campus to burn that American flag and to express his voice of dissent. That's freedom. I believe in that. I believe in standing for freedom and recognizing this Memorial Day, even if that freedom allows my opponent or my enemy to tell me how much he hates me. I will fight for the cause, for him to have the freedom to express his views that come against me. I believe in that. Where does it come from? It comes from the cause for which you and I are warring in, spiritually maybe. Some of you listening abroad right now in Iraq and Mosul or Fallujah or maybe in Afghanistan. For you, it's war right now. You're at war. You're fighting not only for the freedom of the Afghani people or the Iraqis, but for Europe. You're fighting for the freedom of America. And it's always wiser, mind you, it's always wiser to fight your enemy on his soil, lest you fight your enemy on your soil. But some people today might say, Jack, you're a pastor. Why recognize Memorial Day? Well, listen, war is inevitable. I hope you understand that. Do we pray for peace? Yes. Do we negotiate for peace? Yes. Do we lobby for peace? Absolutely. But when your enemy is bent on war, as Abraham Lincoln said in his second inaugural address, where he is for peace, but his enemy is bent on war. He lifted that right out of the book of Psalms. You can be a peaceful person. I am. You can be devoted and committed to living a quiet, peaceable life. But you may have an enemy who's bent on war. His ideology, his religion, or his thought is to destroy you. Ronald Reagan echoed one of the voices of our great founding fathers, George Washington, when Reagan said that sometimes there's only a peace that's on the other side of war, quoting General George Washington. You might say, well, Pastor, aren't you a hypocrite? Doesn't the Bible say that you shall not kill? Didn't Moses say that in the Ten Commandments? Isn't that the will of God, that you shall not kill? No, the Bible does not say that, actually. The Bible says thou shalt not murder. There's an interesting thing regarding war. People die in war, and no one celebrates that. When people die in war, people are killed. They're not murdered. The Bible's very clear. Our forces deployed right now fighting for freedom, they're not murderers. As much as Michael Moore and MoveOn.org and those guys who want you to believe that we've raised up a bunch of murderers that are donned in military uniforms fighting for the guise of freedom. No, listen, my friend. The Bible says that we're not to commit murder. And in war, people die, and it's killing. It's tragic. And that's, by the way, the reason why you ought to consider this Memorial Day. You say, well, how does that come together? Well, frankly, because there will not be peace until Jesus Christ returns. Is he not called the Prince of Peace? See, everybody wants peace in the world, but they don't want anything to do with Jesus. And you can't have peace without Jesus. You can't have peace internally without him, and you can't have peace externally in the world without him. And so right now, I just want you to be thinking about your life, the cause for which you're living for. And I want to ask you, as this Memorial Day approaches, millions of men and women have given their lives because they believed in the cause. I do believe in that cause, and I too would give my life. But I believe in even a greater cause. I'm a Christian. The cause of Christ is that if I love you, I'm called to lay down my life for you. That may mean in blood. Or it also may mean that for the rest of my days, if God allows me to live for the next 30 more years, that every day I'm to lay down my will and fight a fight of divorce from myself, that Christ may rule and reign in my heart, that you might be ministered to, that you might be blessed, that you might be brought to a place of being thankful and appreciative to God. The cause is great. The great revolutionary cause in the founding of America was called the Glorious Cause. And by part, mostly, perhaps, it was a young man's cause. Many of these founding fathers were giving their lives, their property, and their sacred honor, their wealth even, because they believed in a cause. And they were cast in roles that were far beyond their age, many of them in their early 40s. Thomas Jefferson in his late 30s. Amazing. I want to ask you, what are you willing to die for? What is your memorial? Regarding your life right now, what memorial are you establishing? I'm not asking you to agree with mine, and I'm sure you're not requiring that I agree with yours. But know this, you are leaving a memorial behind in this life. You are leaving a legacy behind. And I want to ask you, what worth is it? What value is it if it's not greater than yourself? If there's any of you young people tuning into this right now or listening right now, I want to ask you, what are you living for that's worth dying for? If you have nothing worthy of death to live for, then honestly, your life is at best, very thin. That's why when Jesus Christ comes into a life, there's a renewal, there's a cause, there's an enthusiasm, there's a dynamic. Well, you know what? It's what you and I see when we meet up with new believers. The awareness, the nearness of Christ. And so, on this Memorial Day where we honor those who have given their lives for us, we need to thank God for them. You say, well, Jack, I knew a lot of non-believers who died on the field of battle. Thank God for them. I pray that maybe somehow for many of them that they cried out to Jesus in the last moment. Maybe you're listening right now from a post, a location, fighting one of our foreign wars right now as America is under siege when it comes to the war on terror, and you're defending us. I want you to know, don't lose heart. Don't listen to NBC or CNN's version of your cause. Don't be fooled by the spin of a few. There's a revival taking place in America, and there's a renewal taking place. People are beginning to wake up to freedom again, to care about it again, to get out onto the street and let their voices be heard. People are waving their flags again and caring again. Something's happening. And it's this pastor's commitment to be, as the early pastors of the founding of America, the black regiment. That's what I want to be. You say, Jack, you're not even close to being black. Well, that's not what it means. The black regiment in the Revolutionary War of the United States of America was a bunch of pastors who had black robes on, who took them off to reveal their Continental Army uniform. And I'm asking you today to consider joining the fight, to pray that freedom may reign again in America, that our forces will be victorious for the liberation of foreign lands, and that you and I together would be more thankful this Memorial Day than we ever have been. I encourage you, go back to history, read it. Open up your Bible and know that the ultimate memorial is the cross of Jesus Christ. And I have good news to report to you. I just got back from Israel. I stuck my head inside the tomb where Jesus once lay, and it's empty. That's a memorial. A memorial that announces to you today that your sins can be forgiven, no matter where you're at in the world, and that God loves you. And that right now you can experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's real. He's your Lord and Savior. Let's pray right now together. Father, we just join together right now and we ask that you would strengthen, bless, encourage, and protect our forces that are abroad. Lord, that you'd give our generals and our commanders incredible wisdom and that you would give them, Father, the tenacity to resist political correctness and to do the right thing. And Lord, we're asking for our political leaders to divorce themselves from spin and from what they think might be expedient for their campaign and do the right thing. And Father, we're praying right now for all of your children throughout America right now that they would count the cost and once and for all at this late hour of church history before Christ returns, that they too would get involved in the glorious cause of following Jesus Christ like they never have before. and making their lives, us together, making our lives a living memorial to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thanks for being with us on Real Radio.
Okay, Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio with a special message of commemoration to those serving in our nation's military service. And of course, if you have not or are not serving, yet cherish the God-granted freedoms in our great nation, you've certainly heard the value in what our teacher has expressed. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll resume our verse-by-verse in the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Meanwhile, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, you can call, click, or write. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or pay our Real Radio website a visit at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And finally, our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. On our next edition of Real Radio,
there's no greater pursuit in all of this world than to know God and the love of God, which is represented in Christ. And this morning is interesting because, as you know from last week, Jesus confronted the storm that was about to destroy the disciples in the boat. We know from last time that it was a satanically commandeered storm when Jesus stood up and rebuked, and he used that word in the Greek to be muzzled, and that storm instantly stopped, and they arrived at the shore. Do you remember that? They immediately arrived on the other side of the lake, and that would have been Tiberias on the western side of the Galilee. This morning, you're going to see something kind of interesting, and in some ways, though it's pretty terrifying, you're going to see his awesome power. But as a disciple being in the boat, you got to wonder what they were thinking during the last 48 hours when Jesus goes to work. We're going to see a lot about confrontation, and we're going to see how Jesus does that. You might say, well, Pastor Jack, I don't like confrontation. Well, first of all, if anybody likes confrontation, they're a weirdo. Okay, confrontation is not, you know, you don't sign up for that. Confrontation. Yet when you read your Bible, when you live life, you realize that there's a confrontation that you never want to go look for, but there's some confrontation that you never want to avoid either. For example, if there's something going on that is wrong, you want to confront it. If there's something that is going on that is dangerous, if somebody's being abused by someone on the street corner, a coward or an apathetic person or someone who's extremely self-centered would look the opposite way and drive away or walk away from that situation where someone is being terribly taken advantage of. What you ought to do is confront the situation. Even if it's calling 911, you are confronting the situation. Even though we don't sign up for confrontation, there is a confrontation that must take place regarding light and dark, between righteousness and evil. And Jesus will show us his timing and his terms and his way of doing things. You know, I taught yesterday up in Santa Barbara at a conference, and the topic that was given to me was Islam in America. And one of the things I had to do was study the Quran and quote the Quran and give arguments from the Quran as to why someone would believe what they believe. And one of the things I was reading in there was quite interesting, where there's a mandate to follow exactly to the detail of what Muhammad did. And so a faithful Muslim is serious about that, to do exactly what Muhammad did. And as I was teaching on that, I had to quickly insert, as I, being a Christian, I'm so glad that I'm called to mimic exactly what Jesus did. I'm supposed to do what the Lord did. I'm supposed to say what the Lord said. I'm supposed to live in this world as the Lord would still be living in this world. And what is that? Loving, caring, and confronting evil.
That's coming up tomorrow as our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, resumes his series in the Gospel of Luke here on Real Radio.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.